Good morning. Today is Monday, October the 5th of 2020. My name is David Hall. I'm the chairman of the State Commission on Judicial Conduct. I am a county court at law judge from Sweetwater, Nolan County, Texas, and I'm also the chair of the State Commission on Judicial Conduct. I welcome each of you that are appearing remotely and thank you for your participation this morning. I'll create a little bit of an expectation of what's going to happen. I'm going to ask the commissioners to introduce themselves to those that are appearing for the public meeting. And then I'll briefly give a little bit of admonishment to everyone and expect everyone to kind of comply with our format. It's very important that the participants that come on the call remain muted until you're invited to speak, and I'll give you more clear instructions on that. First, I'll ask the commissioners to identify themselves for the record today, those that are present, beginning with Judge McGuire.
Derek McGill, fellow member, Georgetown.
Good morning, I'm Alan Lunch, a lawyer from Austin, Massachusetts.
Good morning, I'm Steve Drucker, public member of Sugarman.
Good morning, I'm Janice Holt, public member from Silsby, Texas.
Good morning, Fred Tate, public member from Colleyville.
Today's proceedings are being conducted pursuant to Section 33.0055 of the Texas Government Code, which requires this commission in even numbered years to hold one public hearing to consider comment from the public regarding the commission's mission and operations. To that end, we are here today to accept public comment from those of you that have completed and submitted the witness affirmation form included with the commission's notice of this meeting. These matters will pertain to the commission's mission and operations. In accordance with the relevant executive orders of Governor Greg Abbott, emergency orders from the Texas Supreme Court, and the guidance from the Office of Court Administration regarding the COVID-19 pandemic, and in compliance with the recommendations of the CDC, and in order to best protect the health and safety of those wishing to speak at this public hearing, the hearing is being conducted remotely via Zoom. We are conforming to the social distancing requirements and the restrictions that have been put in place by those mandates, and in a ballroom that allows us to have the space in order to comport and comply with those ourselves. As a reminder, the registration period for those wishing to speak closed at 11:59 p.m. on Sunday, October 4th, 2020. Forms received after that time will be considered at my discretion. I'm now going to read to each of you the Commission's mission statement, which is: the mission of the State Commission on Judicial Conduct is to protect the public, promote public confidence in the integrity, independence, competence, and the impartiality of the judiciary, and encourage judges to maintain high standards of conduct both on and off the bench. The Commission accomplishes this mission through its investigation of allegations of judicial misconduct or incapacity. In cases where a judge is found to have engaged in misconduct or to be permanently incapacitated, the state constitution authorizes the commission to take appropriate disciplinary action, up to and including issuing sanctions, censures, suspensions, or recommendations for removal from office. Please be advised that Section 33.0055 also provides that your comments are to be considered in a manner which does not compromise the confidentiality of matters considered by the commission. In order to satisfy this provision, we ask that you not discuss a complaint or investigation that is or may be pending in our office, or that may be dismissed, or that resulted in private discipline. By law, those matters remain confidential. Likewise, please be advised that this is not a forum for filing grievances against judges or for asking the commission to reconsider a decision relating to any complaint filed against a judge. There are specific procedures and methods in place for bringing this type of information to the commission's attention, and we ask that each of you please follow those protocols. Remember, your testimony will be limited to 3 minutes each. However, you may submit written testimony in addition to or in lieu of oral testimony. Since the sole purpose of this hearing is to consider public comment, commission members and commission staff will not be responding to any questions or discussing the testimony of any witness. Any comments from the commission will come through the chair. This hearing is being recorded, and if you would like to receive a copy of the recording, please submit a written request to the agency through its executive director, Jacqueline Habersham. To you, in this hearing, obviously this is being recorded remotely, and if you wish to have someone observe it, it can also be observed through YouTube. As we are conducting this public hearing remotely, I will call each person who has registered to speak in turn. When I call upon you, please make sure that you are unmuted. It may be that you have to control your device yourself to unmute yourself. If you are not the speaker that is called upon, please make sure that you stay muted. If you interrupt or otherwise interfere with the other person's opportunity to be heard, you're subject to being removed from this meeting by the host. Please state your name and identify whether you are here on your own behalf or on behalf of a specific entity or organization. If you have written materials that you have not already, that you have not submitted yet, those may be submitted by mail, if you wish to the State Commission on Judicial Conduct, P.O. Box 12265, Austin, Texas, 78711. I will invite the participants to come into the room. I will ask that when you are brought into invited to speak by the host, either by myself or the commission host, I will ask you to identify yourself by name. And after you've identified yourself by name, you will be given 3 minutes during which to make any presentation you wish. You may obviously conclude at any time during that 3 minute period. And if you do, you can just indicate that and we will invite the next person in. All of you are welcome to stay on the call and to continue to observe others' comments, but please remain muted when it's not your turn to speak. All right, we will proceed at this time. At this time, let me invite, I'm going to find the updated list here so that I can invite. Mr. Bennett, do you have?
Mr. Taryn Champagne.
Do you have a particular person that's in the meeting room that we should invite first?
Mr. Taryn Champagne.
Good morning, this is Taryn Champagne. Can you hear me? Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Good morning, members of the commission. I thank you for the opportunity to testify. My name is Taryn Champagne. As per the Texas Constitution and the Texas Government Code, willful or persistent conduct that is clearly inconsistent with the proper performance of a judge's duties include willful violation of the Code of Judicial Conduct. In the case of the majority of judges in Texas family law cases, we can see widespread violation of these governing principles. From the preamble of the Judicial Code of Conduct, intrinsic to all sections of this Code of Judicial Conduct are the precepts that judges must respect and honor the judicial office as a public trust and strive to enhance and maintain confidence in our legal system. As you will hear throughout the whole day today, the collective public has an outright disdain and mistrust for the Texas family courts. Canon 2 states a judge should act at all times in a manner that promotes public confidence in the integrity and impartiality of the judiciary. Until recently, proceedings in family law courts could not be recorded by parties involved. All information was to be taken strictly from court transcripts, which can omit body language, tone of voice, etc., and portions can be stricken by the judges. These cues, which cannot be recorded, often have negative effects on those trying to seek justice. I am aware of the power of such language as I was threatened by the judge in my case. The threat is in the transcript, but her tone of voice was what made me realize if I did not agree to her demands, she would seek to crush me financially. This also violates Canon 3, in which a judge shall be patient, dignified, and courteous to litigants, jurors, witnesses, etc. Without the ability for the public to record the hearings to preserve the record, individuals are often left in a star chamber where they are unable to receive fair treatment and or to seek redress. Judges also routinely violate Canon 3 and that there is an overwhelming bias in Texas family courts. In general, men are disenfranchised from their ability to parent their children without government intrusion. As per the Texas Attorney General's website, 90% of child support is paid by men. This is blatant gender discrimination, and there can be no reasonable explanation why this percentage is so one-sided. Judges also routinely violate due process of both men and women when they relegate one parent to guest status in a child's life. As noted in Quillen versus Walcott, a due process violation occurs when a state-required breakup of a natural family is founded solely on a best interest analysis that is not supported by the requisite proof of parental unfitness. Canon 3 states a judge shall maintain professional competence in the law. Texas laws itself place the best interests of the child as the primary consideration of the court in determining issues of conservatorship and possession of and access to the child. These judges are woefully undereducated, as modern research shows that what is best for children is the parents remaining together, and if that is not possible, equal or as close to equal parenting time as possible. Children have far better outcomes in shared equal parenting situations, and if the judges sought to maintain their competence, they would be aware of this. Instead of this, they break up families, steal a child from one parent, and then force them to pay extortion fees to the child. As per your own report, cases filed in FY15 totaled 1066 and have jumped to 1849 in FY19, an increase of 73.5%. The commission has a unique opportunity to restore the public faith in the judiciary by taking a proactive approach, re-educating judges, and showing that poor behavior will not be tolerated. I urge you to do what is right and take a deeper look at the Texas family law courts. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Champagne, for your comments. Sir, again, you're welcome to stay in the room. Mr. Bennett, who is next?
Stephanie Fox.
Ms. Fox. Is Stephanie Fox on our call?
The names are not all clearly marked for the site. I have to assume she's not. Do you want to call her again later?
If Ms. Fox is on the call, you're invited to give your public comment at this time. All right, let the record reflect that Stephanie Fox is not on the call at this time, and if she does join later, we'll invite her to speak before we end the meeting. Mr. Bennett, who's next?
Frank Doubt.
Is it Dowell?
Doubt, D-O-U-T.
Hi, hello, can you hear me? This is Frank.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Sir, if you'd state your name, full name for the record, and we'll invite you to utilize your 3 minutes.
Okay. And I'm here on behalf of myself. Let's see. Yeah, there's a lot of corruption in the family courts, and really think that not enough is being done to monitor the judges and the associate judges as well. So if you could please consider that. I also know that you guys are about to get hammered with some pretty tough criticism here in the next few minutes or couple of hours. I think we all know that having to sift through a whole bunch of complaints that just basically are written by people who can't write and can't express their...
Mr. Doubt, I think we lost your audio connection there for a second. I think you were saying who can't express their... Mr. Doubt? Let's give Mr. Doubt just a second to reestablish his audio. Mr. Doubt, I believe you may be muted. You may need to look at your device to see if you're muted.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Please
okay.
continue.
Sorry about that. So, yes, like I was saying, I think a lot of the complaints need to be reviewed. And I did see that Dad Equal Custody mentioned on their Facebook page that there's an organization that will help people write their complaints so that you guys will be able to understand what they're saying. So I don't know if that helps. Hopefully, you know, we can get people can start writing better complaints because I think that's a big issue. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Doubt, for your comments. Who's next, Mr. Bennett?
Azime Zahir, and I have not seen him in the room yet. There was some question as if he was really registering, but I did not hear back from him, so I don't think he's here.
Okay. Is Mr. Zahir present? Please stop phone. Is Mr. Zahir present? All right. Let the record reflect that. Is it Cassini? Hi, Zahir. Is not present for public comment at this time. If that gentleman joins later, we'll provide an opportunity for him to be heard. Mr. Bennett, who is next?
Mark Leach.
Mr. Leach. Mark Leach. Let the record reflect that Mr. Leach is not present to give public comment. Again, if he does join later, we'll give him an opportunity to be heard.
The next is Ty Clark. Ty Clark.
Is Mr. or Ms. Clark present? All right, let the record reflect that Ms. Clark is not present on our call at this time. We'll allow that person to be heard if they do join. Mr. Bennett?
Brandon Johnson.
Brandon Johnson?
He is here.
Mr. Johnson? Sir, if you'll unmute your microphone, you can be heard.
Yes. Okay, thank you for hosting this remote meeting, or this remote hearing. Brandon Johnson from Mineral Wells, here on my own behalf and the behalf of my children.
Mr. Johnson, you may proceed, sir.
It government hi can you hear are you able
Mr.
to hear
Johnson both? I think you're having some audio connections on your end, some troubles with the connection. You're muted at this time. If you would unmute yourself and try again to begin with your comments.
Thank you. Are you able to hear me now?
Yes, sir.
All right, thank you. I am here on my own behalf and that of my children. I appreciate you hosting this remote meeting or remote hearing. It is said that government hides what it is doing in plain sight. The June 2018 Texas Judicial Commission Council Committee report and recommendations titled Public Trust and Confidence quotes French novelist de Blasic, to distrust the judiciary marks the beginning of the end of society. I ask, was this quote an admission to what this commission and the judiciary is doing in plain sight? This commission is propping up a system that is plundering the people. This is what another Frenchman, Frederick Bastiat, calls legalized plunder. Family is the fabric of society. 50% of the caseload in the courts right now are family law cases. This is fueled by the anti-family code of Texas, encouraging broken homes and mandating absent fathers when the relationship between parents dissolves. When you combine legalized plunder of the judiciary and the destruction of the families, the legal society and this commission are responsible for the destruction we see in our society today. You men and women have a responsibility, just like all of us common folks, to do the right thing without being mandated to do so. Please keep this in mind when you're carrying out the mission Judge Hall expressed when opening public comment. Right now, trust in the judiciary is at an all-time low because you do not police your own. Please take this criticism constructively to restore trust in the judiciary. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson, for your comments. Mr. Bennett.
Ms. Reedy Chikukur. I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce that.
That's all right. Nobody gets my name right. Can you all hear me clearly?
Good morning, ma'am. Yes, you may proceed.
My name is Riti Chikarur. I'm here on behalf of myself, as well as my organization called Pro Se Court Support Services, where we provide emotional support and other non-legal support to families stuck in family court. I thank the commission for giving me the opportunity to speak. The mission of the State Commission on Judicial Conduct is to protect the public, promote public confidence in the integrity, independence, competence, and impartiality of the judiciary, and encourage judges to maintain high standards of conduct, both on and off the bench. The commission accomplishes this mission through its investigation of allegations of judicial misconduct or incapacity. In cases where a judge is found to have engaged in misconduct or to be permanently incapacitated, the Texas Constitution authorizes the commission to take appropriate disciplinary action, including issuing sanctions, censures, suspensions, or recommendations for removal from office. Now, this is a very noble mission and a very important one, because the judiciary in this state or any other state has immense power over its citizens. I'm here testifying today as a concerned citizen and on behalf of my numerous clients and as a single mother of three minor children who has been subjected to repeated misconduct by certain judges in the Travis County District Court. And trust me, I am not the only one. The commission has received multiple complaints through the online complaint form by many parents who have been subjected to irreparable harm to their children and themselves. What can be worse than that for society? Nelson Mandela said, "There can be no keener revelation for a society's soul than the way it treats its children." Our children in Texas courts are being so mistreated, it is difficult for me to even say these words, but certain unethical judges are issuing orders for minor children to be returned to their abusers. And these are not just emotional abuse stories. The stories are horrifying. In my own cases, a judge in Travis County District Court issued unconstitutional orders violating judges' canons that have the effect of termination of my parental rights. A county court judge issued a 17-year protective order and ordered a GPS ankle monitor on me in 2018 for no crimes committed because he felt like it. Certain judges abuse their public office and are liable to be indicted as per Texas Penal Code Chapter 39 for crimes committed against our children, our families, and the judiciary itself. I have filed several complaints with the commission, provided substantial evidence, but there seems to be no clear timelines for response, investigation of complaints, or any disciplinary actions taken against these judges. Several of us testifying today have the same testimony that our official complaints have been simply ignored by the commission. We citizens respectfully demand a clear timeline for when and how these complaints will be investigated. Thank you to the commission.
Thank you, ma'am, for your comments. Mr. Bennett, would you invite the next person in?
We have a registrant, just the name Carlos. Mr. Carlos?
Yes, I'm here. How are you doing, sir?
Sir, good morning. Would you please state your name, your full name for the record?
And, my name is...
And you may give your public comment.
Absolutely. And I'm sorry, your first name, sir, the gentleman with the tie, blue tie.
My name is David Hall. I'm a county court at law judge from Sweetwater, Nolan County, Texas.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it, Mr. David. So I just want to talk to you man to man, David. That's all I'm here to do, is talk to you man to man. I had my kids stolen from me here in Ector County. And what this entire system now kind of relates
to. Would you tell me your full name, please, for the record?
I just go by Carlos. I just go by the man, Carlos. My friends call me Charlie. So I'll just go by Carlos.
You may continue. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you. I appreciate it. So now, and I'm just talking to you, man to man, Dave. My kids were taken from me because I know this court system is basically corrupt. And it's just not here in Ector County. I think it's pretty much rampant. And I know it's because there's no oversight on these judges. They pretty much do whatever it is that they want to do. And we know that it's almost a profit off the kids' backs. So we know that for me, I think this is all rhetoric. I think that nothing's going to be done until judges start being held accountable. And I think going towards this matter, you will find reprieve in the justice system. I do not have faith in the criminal justice system and the family court system at all. They strip kids away from their loving parents. I was stripped away from my kids. My oldest, who for the record, Viviana Flores, no longer wants to be in my life. Luckily, I had to fight the court system to get to stay in my younger daughter's life, which is Marlo Ava Flores. Now, with that said, I think that the family court system strips these kids away without any type of hearing to see whether a parent is to be unfit. It's an automatic, and that's what the unjust comes in. My lawyer didn't tell me that. And I know under public law 145 through 103, I was already made an absent father. My lawyer didn't tell me that. I never wanted to be an absent father. My daughter does not call me, hey, Mr. Non-Custodial Parent. Need to change the laws, but also the judges need to be held accountable. It's rampant. We see that in all of, all these organizations that I see online on Facebook. So, David, I think you're going to have to do something. As a man, and I'm talking to you man to man, I think it's time to step up to the plate and hold these judges accountable.
Thank you for your comments, sir. Mr. Bennett, who is our next?
Jeffrey Morgan.
Morgan? Did you say Morgan?
Yeah, Jeffrey Morgan. He's.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry. I didn't realize I was not unmuted. Is it possible for me to switch places with Hunter Cole Youngblood? I know he has to leave it by 10, and I'd be very glad to swap places with him.
Yes, that's fine. Who is the other person, Mr. Bennett?
Hunter Cole Youngblood.
Just a second. Is he registered?
Hunter Cole Youngblood is registered.
Okay. Mr. Youngblood? You'll need to unmute yourself if you have. Mm-hmm. Mr. Youngblood?
I think he's having audio difficulties.
Okay. I think he has a bad connection. Mr. Morgan, I'll invite you to proceed and give your public comment. You have 3 minutes, sir.
Are you talking with Hunter right now, or are you talking with Jeff?
I'm inviting Jeffrey Morgan to give his public comment. Mr. Morgan?
Okay, thank you very much. Yes. The Article 5, Section 1A of the Texas Constitution does give the State Commission on Judicial Conduct the authority to discipline and remove justices and judges. So you're responsible. I mean, you know all of this stuff. And yet for many people in the public, we have, you are our last recourse against judicial misconduct. And yet, unfortunately, I as an individual have lost total faith in you as being an honest and effective agency. And I'm sorry to impugn your honesty, but at least the effectiveness of what you do. Two examples come to mind, and I'm going to just give the case number, CJC number 17-1572. A judge was given a public warning because she refused to perform same-sex marriages. That was a shame because our Texas Constitution forbids same-sex marriages. You looked at her as being, you mentioned that she, that a judge shall conduct all of the judge's extrajudicial activity so that they do not cast reasonable doubt on her capacity to act impartially as a judge. Everything that she did was in accordance with the law, and yet you gave her a public rebuke. You completely ignored Article 1, Section 32 of the Texas Constitution that states marriage is between one man and one woman only. You ignored Section 2.001 of the Texas Family Code. You ignored Article 1, Section 6 of the Texas Constitution that says all men have a natural and indefeasible right to worship God according to the dictates of their own consciences, and that no human authority ought, in any case whatever, to control or interfere the rights of conscience in matters of religion. So I don't see that you act in a manner that is in accordance with the Constitution. But the second thing is from a personal perspective. I have actually written to you on a couple of occasions. And in one instance, again, this is case number 17-1308-JP. I gave plenty of evidence to you. It's talking about judicial misconduct. I'm not even talking about the rules of civil procedure. We don't have enough time for this. But I gave you a case that in which I made the statements, the allegations. I could have provided proof that the judge did not consider any of the evidence that was brought before him. In fact, he dismissed it, and then he lied to me in his official dismissal, saying that he examined the evidence when he did not do so. He said he would research the matter over the weekend, and yet he went straight back to his courtroom and he wrote the dismissal letter. So he lied to me in the courtroom. He mocked and sneered at me when he stated that, you know, are you the only one telling the truth? Yes, I was the one telling the truth. I had all the evidence with me, textual, documentary, court transcripts, and yet he refused to consider that, and he just sneered at me and mocked at me. The defendant herself committed perjury in the court. And again, that was very easy to prove, but he did not want to look at it. He treated me as if he were a prosecuting attorney. And he even tried to give me legal advice from the bench. At the end
Mr.
of his-
Mr. Morgan,
yes.
That's 3 minutes. I would just invite you to briefly make a closing statement.
Sure. All I'm just saying is that I have seen, because of these things, I have gone to courts repeatedly and I've started court watching. And these abuses are egregious, and yet we don't find anybody to protect us. The State Commission of Judicial Conduct, whenever we submit something to you, we don't get any type of favorable response. So we have no confidence in the agency. And to say no confidence is probably an understatement. I appreciate your time. I know that sounds harsh. Thank you for looking into this. And again, we want to be able to trust in the judicial system. Right now, I have no trust whatsoever in the third branch of government. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Morgan. Mr. Bennett.
Joshua Jaros, J-A-R-O-S.
Jaros?
Yes. Hold on just a second. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir. We can hear you. You may proceed.
Give me just a second here. I was right in the middle of. All right. My name is Joshua Jaros. I'm from Magnolia, Texas. And I just want to briefly testify on the family court system. Of course, you guys are hearing a lot of stories here today. And like many have said, it's really just the tip of the iceberg.
The Office of Court Administration said that since the Texas Family Code in its current form was passed, that modifications are up over 400%. And there's a reason for that. The laws do need to be changed. But I'm finding that the courts and the judges are taking advantage of the system and really are in cahoots with the lawyers at this point. I realize you guys got some folks from the Bar Association on this organization. And I realize you guys have your hands tied in exactly what you can and cannot do. This is a difficult situation. We have a lot of parents that are losing their relationships with their children, and they're good parents. These are parents that have committed no crimes. And when you go through the family court system, the public, the parents are losing confidence in our judiciary. I can tell you right now, my confidence in the family court system is at a zero. I have zero confidence going into any family court system. And I frequently tell parents, look, the odds are stacked against you. You do what you can. You hope for the best. But there is no recourse once you go through the family court system. And a lot of people say, well, you can always appeal. Well, there's a problem with that. The standard for an appeal has to be on such a level that is so egregious. And what's being done in the family courts, it has the appearance of legality. It looks like the judges are doing the right thing, but they're not. You know, it's hard to prove that in a court of appeals. And if you go to the Supreme Court, well, your chances of getting a case heard are pretty much null. Right now, we're looking at the destruction of the family. And I'm going to encourage you all in this committee. I realize your hands are tied. The number of family court cases I know that you all see are overwhelming. You have said so before in some of these hearings that you just can't get to everything. You only meet so many times a year. You guys are getting overwhelmed with family court cases. Send a letter to the House of Representatives. Send a letter to the governor. This is something that you guys can do and say, look, we're seeing a level of family court cases coming through our system. Could somebody look into it? We are working to get the laws changed, but we need everybody on board. You know, it said all that is good, all that it takes for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. Y'all are hearing these court cases. You're all hearing about what's happening to our children, that we can't see them through these family court cases because it's based on profit. Help us out. Don't leave this hearing now and not do anything. Send a letter. Y'all as a group can do that.
Mr. Jarosz, that's 3 minutes. I just invite you to wrap it up.
All right. I thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir, for your comment.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Youngblood.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Youngblood. Sir, if you'd state your name for the record, and then you may proceed.
Yeah, my name is Hunter Cole Youngblood, and I am here as far as the family court, just like you had mentioned. I just want to say that I spent over $230,000 just to try to get halftime with my children. I did file a complaint with the judiciary. The lawyers that were against me and the amicus were the biggest contributors to this judge's campaign. He has since been kicked out of, he has lied to the community and since been run out of judge, but now he sits as a visiting judge. So what I see is that the judiciary, you're getting a lot of complaints from the judges, and they just move on to other roles, whether they're a visiting judge or whether they sit in and they're able to make decisions for families and able to abuse this misconduct. I currently have a friend in Parker County right now. Hasn't seen his kid in over a year. We file complaints against the judges. They have sent this kid to boarding school, and even he wants to live with his dad. He has been very consistent saying that he wants to live with his dad. These judges need to be called out, and they need to be held accountable, sir. What they're doing, they're bankrupting families in the name of the child's best interest. It is unconstitutional, and it is absurd that we have to spend our life savings just to be a part of our children's life. We need cameras in the courtroom to help with these. Really, our confidence in the judiciary is at an all-time low. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for your comment, Mr. Youngblood. I think that we now have Ty Clark that has joined the meeting, who I had called earlier. I'd invite Mr. Clark again to give his public comment. Mr. Clark, if you can unmute your microphone, we should be able to hear you, sir. Mr. Clark, do you wish to give public comment? Is he still on the call?
He was just here and I don't see him. So I guess he dropped.
I guess Mr. Clark has left the meeting.
Okay.
Let's call our next one.
Lorena Mirafuentes.
Is DeFuentes?
Muted. If you would unmute your microphone, Ms. Mirafuentes.
Hello, yes.
Good morning, ma'am. You may give your public comment at this time.
Good morning. Thank you so much for allowing me to share my testimony. My name is Lorena Marfuentes, and I'm speaking on behalf of myself, my children, and an organization called Texas Eyes Voice for the Innocents. And the many families that are contacting me on a daily basis. I would like to draw to your attention that children are often misdiagnosed with child abuse, and judges within the family and court system, criminal court system, are signing off on the wrongful removal of children, and it's completely devastating children and families. Sorry, I'm out of breath, I just ran upstairs. And what happened in my case was my child was misdiagnosed. The judge signed off on the emergency removal of my two children, and it greatly traumatized my kids and my family. Families are often innocent and they're just being railroaded through the court system, and the judges are often never held accountable. And when these cases are dismissed and the children are correctly diagnosed, the cases are often dragged out for a year, 2 years, and it's greatly affecting and traumatizing many families in Texas and all throughout the nation. My story went nationwide in January to raise awareness about the misdiagnosis of child abuse and how it's greatly affecting children and families in Texas and nationwide. I spoke at a legislative hearing in November and I shared my testimony, and the state representative, Chairman James Frank, is also looking into this issue. And I ask you to please, please take all these concerns very seriously. And judges are often not held accountable for the wrongful removal of children. The judge in my case signed off on the emergency immediate danger removal of my two children, and there is absolutely zero evidence of child abuse. My son was misdiagnosed and he actually had a complication at birth.
We lost your, the last sentence you just said, I think we lost the audio there.
Okay, can you hear me now?
I don't know if she, is she muted? Ron?
I can hear just fine.
Okay, and maybe it's on our end. I'm sorry I interrupted. Ms. Mirafuentes, now you are muted, but if you'll unmute yourself, you may certainly continue, and I'm sorry to have interrupted you.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, ma'am.
We can hear you.
Okay. My child was misdiagnosed with child abuse. It took me 2.5 years and over $80,000 in attorney fees to have my son correctly diagnosed. He actually had a complication at birth in a condition called benign external hydrocephalus. And one doctor made a wrongful accusation that they thought my child was abused when he never was. There's zero evidence of any child abuse. So these cases, there's many cases within the court systems where children are having honest to God medical conditions and they're being misdiagnosed with child abuse. And oftentimes when the case is actually dismissed, it's usually dragged out for a year, 2.5 years or longer. But when the case is dismissed and the children are actually correctly diagnosed, there's no accountability on the judge's side for signing off on these wrongful removal of children. My oldest son lost 20 pounds within 6 weeks because he is wrongfully removed from me and placed in the foster care system. And it greatly traumatized my whole family and the many families that are going through this.
Ms. Mirafuentes, that's about 3 minutes. I just invite you to briefly wrap up.
Okay. Thank you so much for allowing us to share our testimonies today, and ask you to please look into, you know, all these complaints and the misdiagnosis of children who are being misdiagnosed with child abuse but have medical conditions. Thank you so much for letting me.
Jason Bradley Lamb.
Mr. Lamb.
I believe he's on.
Jason Bradley Lamb. Is Mr. Lamb on the call?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Okay. Good morning, sir. You may introduce yourself and give your comment.
My name is Jason Bradley Lamb. I go by Brad Lamb. I've got a court case here in Tarrant County that's been going on for 5 years. My kids are 6 and 4, almost six. My oldest one is almost six, youngest one is 4. They've been going through terrible abuse this entire 5 years. That's very well documented. Got sexual assault nurses, cops, supervisors, you name it. My son has told just about everybody what's happened to him. And Judge Wells here in Tarrant County Family Law has covered this up for 5 years. She's used her amicus attorney to dismiss all testimony from all these professionals and goes with what the amicus attorney deems to be valuable and what's not valuable. So this amicus attorney that's been on the case for 5 years never comes to the house, never comes checks on the children. She never does anything at all, but yet she dismisses all this testimony from everyone else, and the judge continues to go with what she finds valuable. I have been placed on supervised visits with no allegations, no accusations against me whatsoever. I've been on supervised visits for over a year where my kids continue to make outcries. The very first supervised visit, this is a supervisor that the judge appointed. The very first supervised visit, my son asked, please don't make me go back. My mother still hits me in my face, to the supervisor. She calls, makes a CPS complaint. The very next morning, my daughter shows up with a busted lip saying her mother did it. She calls and makes another CPS report on that, finding out that both cases are already closed. The one that she made just the day before, and then the one that she's making right now, they've already closed the case. Judge Wells has cut every outside investigation that you can think of. She's cut it off. Crimes Against Children Unit, CPS, anything at all that we can get going, she cuts it off. We had a sheriff's department here in Tarrant County that wanted to take the case over because this is so egregious and it's so well documented. Well, they cut her hands off too. So we cannot get an investigation going on this. My kids continue to make outcries all the time. We're on our fourth supervisor. So Judge Wells, whenever the supervisors show up to testify, she fires them and moves on to another one. We're on our fourth one now. So we cannot get any leverage. We cannot get anything done about the children's abuse. And this is horrid abuse. And I have never understood how in the world this is a civil matter. This is not a custody matter. It's not a civil matter. This is a criminal matter. And it should have a criminal investigation behind it. And instead, Judge Wells keeps this in a civil courtroom where no one else can see it and no one else can look into it. Something needs to be done. Something needs to be done where my son has made such horrible outcries that his mother even killed his pet guinea pig in front of him and told him not to tell anybody. This is to an outcry to a sexual assault nurse that she's done this to him. And Judge Wells continues to cover this up. And I'm sure you're...
Mr. Lamb, that's about 3 minutes, if you could just briefly wrap up.
Okay. I do not understand how these kind of cases are held inside of a civil courtroom. I don't understand. If you make false allegations, there should be charges against you. And if there is abuse going on, there should be charges against the abuser, as well as the judges should be held accountable. At this point, 5 years of this, she's as responsible as child abuse as what the abuser is.
Thank you, Mr. Lamb, for your comments, sir.
Thank you.
Ken Cunningham.
Mr. Cunningham.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. You may give your comment at this time.
My name is Kenneth William Cunningham, and I'm speaking on my own behalf as well as my children, as well as scores of other parents here in Taylor County, your neighboring county judge. Thank you for hearing my testimony. I'm going to be a little more specific than some of these others. I don't mind because the word needs to get out. Texas family courts need reform. Judges need accountability. Right now, there is no accountability. And I want to quickly give you my testimony. Because of my ex-wife's false testimony and false accusations in court, I get to see my two little girls for 8 hours each month, supervised, plus one 30-minute school lunch, unsupervised, which I drive 400 miles round trip, or at least I did every week before COVID hit anyway. And I have permanent custody of our son, whom she and her family abandoned to me. He was our foster son together for 5 years. We got him at 8 months old. And when she took the biological children, she left him with me. Between child support, cost for supervised visits, and travel, I pay about $2,000 a month. I can't afford a modification. And if you go pro se, the judges hold it against you that you're pro se. I've seen it with other people. And all this happened because a judge chose to believe a perjurious woman without a shred of evidence. And even though our CPS liaison through fostership, the Taylor County Attorney General testified in court on my behalf that they recommended I get conservatorship. The judge gave my ex everything she asked for and more. I committed no crimes. Two of my three children were stolen from me by a corrupt judge in a corrupt court without any evidence at all, no testimonies to prove, no history on my part of any instability. She convinced this judge, Judge Paul Rotenberry, that I was unstable. I committed no crimes. I broke no laws. I wasn't even accused of such. And even on the stand, our CPS liaison, our church secretary, told the judge that my ex-wife told them personally that I was never abusive in any way, emotionally, verbally, physically, to her or the children. She was given full custody. The judge took my guns away for 90 days. I was ordered to get a psychological evaluation by a forensic sexual evaluator, even though there were no allegations of any kind of sexual misconduct. And this would be at a cost of $3,000 with follow-up counseling. Psychologists, and I have it in writing, told me that Judge Rotenberry personally called him about this. And I just, you know, I just want to say we need reform. I've been in ministry for 30 years. I'm the pastor of my current church for 15 years. I've been a realtor for 15 years. I have a license to carry a firearm of 17 years. I was a foster parent for 6 years. All of these require a stringent background test. I see that my time's up, but let me close by saying we need sweeping reform, Judge. We need sweeping reform. My children were legally kidnapped from me, and they need their father in their life. Thank you for hearing me. Thank you for your time.
Caleb Leverett.
Can you hear me?
We lost your video.
Well,
but I can hear you.
Can y'all hear? I'm okay if you can't see me. Do you hear me?
Mr. Lever, if you could hold on, it looks like we lost the commission. If you could hold on one moment, I want to make sure they hear what you have to say.
Sure.
I don't know if they lost their Wi-Fi or what happened. Mr. Cunningham, are you still there? Mr. Lever, it looks like the commission didn't get to hear the end of Mr.
Okay, I'm sorry if we had a internet problem on our end. Mr. Cunningham, we lost your comment about 2.5 minutes in there. If you would, I'll invite you, sir, to continue your comment. You had described described most of what happened in court. I would invite you, Mr. Cunningham, to complete your thoughts there.
He's still muted, but he still shows on.
Is Mr. Cunningham?
Do you want to circle back to him? It looks like he's still connected, but he may have stepped away. Mr. Leverett's ready to go.
Did Mr. Cunningham want to make any closing statement to us?
Well, we didn't know you weren't on, so he finished, and I think he may have stepped away from his computer.
We heard almost 3 minutes of his comments, but I just shy of that before we cut off. I'll give him a chance. Well,
I don't know where we left off.
It was after you had, it was almost 3 minutes in, you had completed your description of your experience in court, and you were talking about the limitations and the costs. We had heard all of that, Mr. Cunningham.
Okay, well, I was finishing by saying I've served a ministry for 30 years. I've been the pastor at my current church for 15, a realtor for 15, a license to carry my firearm for 17 years, all of which require stringent background checks, yet my children were legally kidnapped from me. And I appreciate your time. Thank you for listening to us.
Thank you, Mr. Cunningham. And I do apologize, sir, for our connection problem there for a moment. We thank you for your public comment.
Thank you.
Caleb Bennett, Judge, next.
Would you say that again?
Caleb Leverett.
Caleb Leverett?
Yes, sir.
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir, we can hear you. If you would just introduce yourself and you may give your comment.
Hi, my name is Caleb Leverett, and I'm a parent in Texas. I've been involved in the family court system since I got divorced in 2007. It'd be impossible to summarize everything in a mere 3 minutes, but in 2017, after being thrown in jail by Judge Whalen, or having my son ripped away from me by Judge Whalen, and then thrown in jail by Judge Rex for 60 days for civil contempt of civil court, I was literally convicted of being a good dad. Fast forward another 4 years to 2017, I was awarded primary custody of my younger, then 14-year-old son, Blaine. Judge Sarah Kate Billingsley of the 446th District Court there in Ector County, Texas, took the time to actually listen to all four of my children, which was something that was completely unheard of. Once I found out that I was being sued yet again in 2017, I just figured, well, here I go. I guess I'm going back to jail again. I knew nothing about Judge Billingsley. I just assumed that I was going to lose either time or money or my liberties, because that's the only experience I had at the time. Quite the opposite was true. Before 2013, her position didn't even exist, and her position was created, from what best I understand, by Governor Abbott, and she was appointed by Governor Abbott. And every hearing, every person that has to go back through her court, she assigns, maybe this is her deal, maybe this is the Texas thing, I really don't know, for all parents to go to some kind of divorce parenting class. And I enjoyed it. I liked it. I was really surprised that they included parental alienation in the course. I thought that was outstanding. And I know y'all probably get a lot of negative feedback, but I'm going to give some positive feedback. The way Judge Billingsley makes everybody go to these parenting classes that talks about parental alienation, I would think it'd be just the greatest thing ever if every sitting judge in Texas would go through Judge Billingsley's class and watch her own Zoom meetings, where she conducts, and I believe in, she's the by far the most fair judge I could ever imagine. That being said, I was awarded primary custody in 2017 in August, no, July 21st. She orders to go to mediation in October. We did. We agreed that I no longer owed back child support. I no longer owed current child support. She signed it, sent it to the office of the Attorney General. Ken Paxton, as many of you know, is under a lot of fire suddenly. I've been screaming hashtag Paxton for prison for about 3 years now. That coming December 2017, Paxton's office seized my bank account, and my new son that I just brought back in my house, we almost became homeless for Christmas. I have been screaming to the top of my lungs about the deadbeat Attorney General Ken Paxton, and I'm so thankful that finally, the media is listening, and apparently now y'all are listening. I wish I'd have known about these meetings many years ago. This is great. I'm glad y'all are listening to the people who are obviously disgruntled in the state of Texas. To this day, Paxton's-
Mr. Leverett, that's about 3 minutes. I just invite you to wrap it up, sir.
Sure. I've legally, according to Paxton's office, owe $50,000, and Judge Billingsley signed the order that says I don't. So I'm going to cut it off here. But anyway, Paxton for prison. Thanks so much. Y'all take care.
Mr. Bennett.
The next up is Lori Beth Wilson. I don't see her in here, but she may be under another name. Lori Beth Wilson.
Is Lori Beth Wilson present and wishing to give a public comment? All right, let's let the record reflect that Lori Beth Wilson is not present for our meeting, but if she does join, we'll give her an opportunity to be heard.
The next up is Carol King. I believe she's here.
Ma'am, if you'll unmute your microphone, we should be able to hear you.
I think it's unmuted. I'm here.
Oh, can you speak up, Ms. King? We can barely hear you.
Okay, certainly. Is that better?
Can you hear her, Judge?
We can hear her faintly. I think it's think it should be okay. Ms. King, you may, if you'll just state your name and you may give your testimony.
All right, my name is Carol King. I'm here representing myself as a native Texan and someone who's very concerned with my experiences, family experiences in the court system over the last 5 years. My comments are the only similarity among the words judicial justice and judge is that they start with JU. The State Commission on Judicial Conduct apparently has no defined standards for judges by which the commission performs oversight, because our Texas judicial system gives our judges unwarranted and uncontrolled power. There is no way to have confidence in the commission because it is painfully clear that there is no oversight. And because we vote for these people, it is only reasonable to have information on their performance. But there does not appear to be any data collection that is public information on how judges rule. There does not appear to be any type of standardized audit or an independent assessment of judicial performance, whether or not in the courtroom. Whatever the process is that you profess to follow, as far as I can tell, if there is one, it's a sham. There do not appear to be any standards for or oversight of the adjunct participants assigned by the judges. I'm very concerned about judges assigning evaluators who, despite a lot of certifications after their names, produce shoddy work. And the judges just accept that work as the basis for decisions that affect many people's lives, most frequently in a very negative way. The fact that these so-called experts are requested by the attorneys and the judges bless the assignment in no way ensures an objective and reasonable evaluation for the judge to ultimately use for a ruling. And the incredulous expense of these legal services promulgated by the assigning judges compounds an already flawed system that has failed to serve our citizens, our children who are innocent victims of divorce, and our vulnerable senior citizens. In fact, the expense of legal services in Texas forces many families into bankruptcy. I've known of some folks who actually had to go live in their cars for a while. And that's not to say anything of the resulting heartache, depression, and even suicides for the participants in and people who are impacted by legal actions. I know of a couple of assessments where the situation was completely, the data that was provided to the judges was completely inaccurate and not thorough and very much had the appearance of bias. It is totally improper for there not to be standards and a formal process that we can all rely on for these people to follow. And like I said, the resulting cost is horrific. If I had ever done my job like what I perceive the commission has done theirs, and I don't understand if you guys are judges and you have to do this on the side, that's not good.
That's about 3 minutes, Ms. King, if you could briefly wrap it up.
Right. So I would have never kept a job if I had done my job in the manner that I'm observing is happening here. I believe that the reputation of our state and the concept of oversight of justice is a sham. I'm looking forward to you guys finding ways to hold judges responsible, to establish processes and procedures that are systematic and consistent. And I appreciate
thank you, Ms. King.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Bennett. Next,
Joseph Villarreal.
Hello.
Mr. Villarreal, you are, if you would introduce yourself, please, and you may give your public comment.
Yes, sir. My name is Joseph Villarreal. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I represent myself, myself and my son, down here in Tarrant County. And I guess I'm really trying to see what's going on in Texas family courts. I think there's a lot of family members that are on this hearing to show and speak about the injustices that we're facing. I could go on personally myself with what's going on with my hearing in the 360th court district. I mean, it's blatantly in front of our faces. It's in front of y'all's faces what they're doing. The 360th court district isn't even streaming their YouTube hearings. I've submitted a complaint to the Office of Court Administrations to notify them of what's going on, and there's no feedback. There's clear bias with the legal representation from the lawyers that are within the system. And a lot of times judgments are made before you even have a court hearing. I haven't been able to see my son in 2 months. I got dragged into this when me and my co-parent signed off on a court hearing less than 2 years ago. I've been fortunate enough to be on expanded visitation, and for some reason things supposedly have changed, and I'm having to be drug into the court system again, deprived of my time with my son, and there's no due process. So I'm at a loss for words. I don't have any faith in the judicial system. I don't have any faith in the lawyers that they say they represent our families and what we cherish the most, which are our children. I appreciate y'all's time for letting us speak. I'm hoping that we can see change and justice. There's a bunch of high profile cases going on in Tarrant County right now, and I mean, we can only hope cumulatively that it makes an impact. That's pretty much all I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Villarreal, for your comments, sir.
Thank you for your time.
Yes, sir.
On Chris Play. Or Chris Play, possibly.
You say Lang?
Clay, C-L-A-Y.
Oh, Clay.
We have a Chris Clay on. I don't know if that's him.
Mr. or Ms. Clay, if you can unmute your microphone, I don't know if that's the same person that's registered. Would you say the first name again?
John Christopher Clay.
John Christopher Clay. I believe we have Chris Clay on the call. Mr. Clay, if you're registered, we would invite you to give your comments at this time. You'll need to unmute your microphone so that you can come forward though, and that should be available on the corner of your device.
I think they've stepped away from their computer.
Let the record reflect that Mr. Clay is not present for purposes of the meeting, and we'll invite him to give his comments if he does join again.
Next up is Alan, and the last name is E-O-F-F. Eoff?
Alan Eoff?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Sir, if you would introduce yourself, you may give your comments at this time.
Okay. My name is Alan Oaf, and in February of 2017, my daughter was left in the car at a bar while on a date from her mother. And I went to emergency temporary orders or an emergency hearing. At this emergency hearing, the judge ruled that since I had not seen my daughter in 7 months due to litigation without visitation, that I would receive supervised visitation. And I believe that that's not in the best interest of the child, because the judge essentially ruled that the my daughter's temporary emotional well-being was more important than her physical safety. Now in 2020, I've opened up a modification for custody, and my daughter is living with a man who's been arrested for 2 counts of injury to a child. The police have come out to my daughter's house 7 times in 5 months, and the same judge in Hidalgo County Court 1 ruled that there is no substantial evidence that was shown to show that my daughter is in danger. And I believe that this is a an unreasonable ruling, and I think that it's an abuse of discretion. And leaving children in dangerous situations where they're known to be dangerous and proven to be dangerous is how major violence and even deaths occur in this great state. And also, I'd like to share that parents shouldn't have to be visitors with their children. They should be able to share their children unless abuse or neglect occurs, like in my case.
Thank you, sir. Anything else that you would like to comment on?
That would be all.
Thank you very much for your comments.
Next, we have a speaker with the name, first name Michael.
Michael.
I don't see that he's on the connection now. I thought I saw him earlier.
Is there a speaker named Michael that has registered without a last name? All right, let the record reflect that the registered speaker, Michael, is not present for our hearing. Who's next?
Sarah Pike.
Sarah Pike.
Hello. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, ma'am, we can hear you. If you would briefly introduce yourself, and then you may give your comments at this time.
Okay, my name is Sarah Pike. I actually live in Virginia. My children and I were Virginia citizens, and Tarrant County, Texas, under Judge Bennett, 360th Court, kidnapped my children right out of Virginia. My ex-husband lives in Texas and filed a case. I went in for jurisdiction trial, didn't think it would be a big deal because Virginia is their legal home state and has been for years. And the judge attacked me. She said that I didn't know how to co-parent, that, you know, even though my ex-husband didn't have any evidence against me whatsoever, she said it didn't matter. And then in addition, when they did take my children, they held me under unlawful arrest. And Bennett made a call to a judge in Virginia and used an ex parte order, which was fraudulent. On the ex parte order, it said that I had kidnapped the children out of Texas, which was not the case because we lived in Virginia. And on facts, findings, and conclusions of law, Bennett went so far as to lie on the document, on the court documents, and say that the children lived in Texas 6 months prior to proceedings. And now I have not seen my children in 10 months. And there is another case under Judge Wells that I have never been served, that I only found out because I got my records. And they are trying to hit me with 29 violations and put me in prison for up to 20 years for speaking out about all the fraud they committed in my case. The way I lost custody, they actually brought in a retired judge, Judge Catterton, who retired in 2013 because I was speaking out against Bennett. And there was no fault found with me. He simply stated that my communication with my ex-husband wasn't working and that he wanted to try something new. So by trying something new, he again gave my ex-husband full custody, and I have not seen them since. And it's so illegal and it's so fraudulent, and federal laws were broken for this to happen. And I don't understand why no one will do anything in Texas to give my children back or to fix the situation. But that's all I had to say.
Thank you, Ms. Pike, for your comments.
Judge, Mr. Clay is available now and is ready.
Ty Clay, Is it Ty? No, it's Chris.
Chris Clay.
Mr. Clay.
He's right there. I see him, but I don't.
Mr. Clay, you may have to unmute your microphone so that we can hear you.
I don't think he can hear us.
I assume that Mr. Clay is having some difficulties with his connection. We'll give him just a second.
Mr. Ty Clark appears to be back on, Judge.
Is Mr. Clark on the call?
Ty Clark.
Mr. Clark, yes, we're again inviting you to give comments.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hey, so my name is Ty Clark. I'm out of Tarrant County, case number 324-659-873-19. I had my son stolen from me on January 29th of 2020 and was put on supervised visitations in Mr. Hennigan's court for there was no testimony. There's no evidence presented. Just the judge's ruling for a continuance, he thought it was in the best interest to remove me with the relationship of my child. And before that, in Polos's court, the associate judge blatantly came out and said that I have no constitutional rights to my child. And there's, of course, there's no record in the associate judge's court. There's no recording. There's no evidence. There's no oversight into these family courts. And yet they continue to steal children day in and day out with no evidence presented to them. So I don't understand how there's all of these parents on here being oppressed from their children and having these children taken from them with no presenting evidence. So for you guys, I would hope to look into each and every one of these cases and try to make sure it's handled correctly and make sure these judges are held accountable.
Thank you, Mr. Clark.
I appreciate you guys' time.
Anything else, sir?
No, sir. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Clark.
Looks like Mr. Clay is connected again. We're texting through the app here. Mr. Clay, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. We can hear you. Mr. Clay, if you would like to introduce yourself, you may give your comments at this time.
Yeah. Good morning, Judge Hall and to the commission. My name is Christopher John Clay. I am here for myself, for other Texas parents, and ultimately for our children. I will speak directly regarding my case. It's been ongoing for 2 years. It's still ongoing. It's based out of the 16th Judicial Court in Denton County with Judge Sherry Shipman. The case number is 16-07061-16. In this case, Judge Shipman on two occasions violated my due process rights. The two decisions that she had made basically were overturned on appeals, and the final one was overturned by the Texas Supreme Court on a 9-0 basis. My case was so strong for myself that I actually had the state of Texas speak on my behalf at the Texas Supreme Court. So I had Ken Paxton's office present facts and testimony in front of the Supreme Court. I also had the Texas Public Policy Foundation speak on my behalf. In this case, Judge Shipman had her impartiality should be questioned because her rulings against me have now been overturned twice on mandamus, the Court of Appeals and the Texas Supreme Court. So they found that she clearly abused her discretion. However, nothing will happen to her. I spent over $250,000 keeping my daughter away from a non-related person who her mother had lived with for at least 6 months. In this case, there was no testimony that led anyone to believe that I was an unfit parent. Judge Shipman showed a clear personal bias or prejudice against me in favor of my daughter's maternal grandparents. She found that the grandparents had standing in a situation where the law very clearly said they did not. After the Court of Appeals partially granted my first mandamus and found the grandparents should be dismissed based off the lack of standing, Judge Shipman admitted to my counsel in chambers that she knew the grandparents did not have standing to bring the suit, but she let them in anyways. This is a clear bias in favor of grandparents that resulted in me spending tens of thousands of dollars in legal fees associated with my first mandamus. After the Court of Appeals ruled over Judge Shipman and said that the grandparents must be dismissed for the lack of standing, Judge Shipman then proceeded to create a backdoor way of giving the grandparents access to my daughter through the remaining
Mr. Clay, that's intervener. About 3 minutes. I just invite you to wrap up, sir.
Yeah. So in my case, me as a parent spent over $250,000 that I had to borrow just to defend my constitutional rights. At the end of the day, the Texas Supreme Court, the appeals courts found me to be fit as a parent, and I had to go and defend my daughter and myself, and I have no recourse. Judge Shipman gets to walk away, and I'm stuck here holding the bill, and some things need to change, and we need more accountability for judges who make bad decisions.
Thank you, Mr. Clay, for your comments today, sir.
That's all we have on the list, Judge.
All right. I would like to thank everyone that registered and gave comments today for participating and for being willing to come on remotely to participate in our public meeting today. This is an important part of our mission, and we will take the information that's been given us today and digest it and consider it. Thank you again, everyone who has participated.
Judge?
Sir? Judge?
Yes.
Mr. Linder?
Yeah, this is James Linder. As y'all were having technical difficulties this morning, I had technical difficulties yesterday in trying to sign up. I would love to explain what happened in my case.
Mr. Linder, did you fill out a form to give public comment today?
I attempted to, but again, I was having technical difficulties yesterday, you know, similarly to y'all having technical difficulties this morning.
Mr. Linder, the restrictions we have in place require you to fill that form in. Did you send one in this morning or late?
No, when I clicked on the link this morning, it just took me to a hashtag that took me to the top of the webpage where I was supposed to have the link to fill out the form.
All right. We've had our own technical difficulties, Mr. Linder, so go ahead.
Thank you. So I'm James Linder, and I'm here on my own behalf, on behalf of my ex-wife and our child. So the Travis County family courts are a joke. On bad advice, my ex-wife sued me and was consequently fleeced. She was fleeced for $55,000 by these kangaroo courts whose ultimate goal is nakedly rent-seeking. Now, so-called family law is a regulatory regime that has been captured by special interests where the proximate goal is to protect children, which is the perfect cover to achieve the ultimate goal of performing an unconscionable wealth transfer from fit parents to attorneys directly and to family courts indirectly through the collection of child support plus Title IV matching federal funds. And in my case, a visiting judge refused to uphold my divorce decree, allowing our beautiful, innocent 4-year-old boy to be moved 95 miles away from me. Later, Judge Amy Clark Meacham, who is seeking the highest office in Texas, who never met our child, decided to restrict my freedom of speech, the ultimate freedom, on false and flimsy evidence to, quote, protect the child from inflammatory language. She threatened me in a way designed to have a chilling effect on my desire to appeal her unconstitutional decision. Family court judges are not jurists, they're tyrants, precisely the type of tyrants our Constitution is designed to protect us against. Now, the good news is the public is starting to catch on. Equal treatment of parents is now the law in Kentucky. Unconstitutional restrictions on the master freedom was struck down by the Massachusetts Supreme Court earlier this year, and eventually the state of Texas will catch up. And it's a question of when, not if, you can be on the right side of history, and I beg you to do that.
Thank you, Mr. Linder, for your comments, sir. Is there anyone else registered to speak that is on the call? I think we called a couple of people to make sure that they didn't come on late. All right. Again, I thank everyone for their comments today. It's important for us to hear from the public. We have done that today, and we appreciate everyone's participation and accommodation during the pandemic appearing remotely. I do pronounce that the public meeting of the State Commission on Judicial Conduct is closed at this time. We will end the call shortly, and everyone should be aware that will kind of abruptly end the Zoom meeting. Thank you all again for being present.